Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, episode 13. In this installment, Mago and Yogi go to the village town Garamukteshwara to buy supplies for the school. Turn these sentences inside out, thinks Mago. Writing their structure and meaning like dawn, hand washing done with two plastic buckets at the pump before walking 3 sugarcane miles. Khichdi Bhasha, mixed up language, speak in simple grains of spice and pulse made from Hindi noun and Punjabi slang in a soup of English. Already she had learnt Hindi script. Now it hung from lines of her exercise book, ornate as Indian clothing pegged on a rope. She is studying a teach-yourself book in very Indian English, picked up from that bookshop last month in Delhi. With few basics in the school, she said, "Let's go shopping." Three times a day, they're bashed in blue bus left for Garamukteshwara. They're 1 hour away nearest town. It rattled chickens in cages and jump-started foreign nerves. "Ow, the springs," she said. "Take the window seat," he offered. She shimmered over his thighs. He tickled her butt. "Hey," she giggled. From the aisle, an old man in white kurta and Gandhi leg pants tucked up the back had locked onto them. "Stop it, he's watching," Mago whispered. Watermelon seeds of eyes leaned on and squinted from a grandfather cane, his shaky joystick. Dragging on a beady, his incredulous stare had heard of such foreigners with their loose morals. "All right, later," Yogi smiled. "No more taboos to be broken today." Other passengers doze, arms and legs in odd positions, able to take life's harder bumps. Eventually, she nodded off, wife head lolling on husband's shoulder, jerking awake, dozing again. Yogi thought, "We are foreign bodies in an ancient bloodstream." Two young men in front held hands and chatted all the way to town. Goldie's jewellery is a ruby wedding necklace in its front glass. Pallavi's hairdressers sees sari goddesses strictly by appointment. Guru Mahal Auto Repairs is an antique temple of grease and pig iron. Welcome to Dayaram's Universal Lighting Shop. Jayaram Musical sells more guitars than pumpkin gourd sitars. Does PK Lakshmi Cement tinker with its clinker content? Sahara India Life Insurance, for this lifetime and the next. Ganapati's bookshop logo holds a biro in his sacred trunk. Alighting from the bus, they trek to the stationery shop. Inside, Moti Lal, a chubby, jolly jumbo, said, "Come, madam, sahib, bablu, 3 cup chai." Madam only wanted her pens and paper and presented her list. 1 rupee biros, pencils, coloured pens, rubbers, sharpeners, camel hair brushes, water colour sets, palettes, oil tubes, blotter art folios, lined copies, alphabet readers, colouring in books. "Babalu, bring it all, jaldi, quick." Some things were missing. Bablu was sent on bicycle to the godown. The gentle, rude interrogator sniffed them both for info, quite perplexed why foreigners come away from wealth and comforts. "Oh, you are truly great, madam and sahib, coming here to serve our poor." Bubble returned with dog-eared stock. She paid, Yogi carried. "Thank you, madam. Please come again." They left, leaving him to speculate. "Ah, foreigners, they don't even know how to bargain." Margot said, "I need to send my letter." They found the post office. She slipped her blue aerogram through the pillar box slit. Inside, the rush was bad. Jostled, tummy-bulging saris were forced to rest off a touchy-feely octopus. Envelopes waved for help like semaphore above the man sea. "Let me," said Yogi, wading in. He played the game of bark and bluff. He fought his way to book a call, waved off to a small side booth. The telephone said, "Pick me up. I'm alive." "You better answer," Yogi added.
"Hello, hello."
"Pierre."
"Oh, it is you."
"Yes, Pierre."
"You woke me."
"Is the time difference?"
"What do you want?"
"To speak to the girls."
"They are asleep."
"Are they all right?"
"Of course, why not?"
"I need to check."
"They are with me?"
"Be civil, Pierre."
"You made trouble in Paris."
"What do you mean?"
"With my family?"
"It was for their girls."
"You interfere, Margot."
"Look, just wake them."
"You cannot order?"
"I'm on a trunk call."
"This line is merde."
"Pierre, just get them."
"Tell me."
"They are my kids."
"Not in India."
"You're mean, Pierre."
"Au revoir, Margaret."
The phone went dead. Her eyes welled up. "Come on, let's leave," said Yogi now. Her dams burst under the broiling sun. He saw the bus, and so they ran. Now on board, in a window seat, she turned away, her chiffon shawl pulled up and over to cover her face. So this is Purda. What to do? He had no clue. She didn't have a plan at all. She had withdrawn from his plain view. What to do? He had no clue. Should she fly back, just push through, or hide inside this chiffon wall? What to do? He had no clue. She didn't have a plan at all. Set down on dirt, they walked toward the school. Wasp afternoon. The kids had shot off home. Her face now drained. Had been a swimming pool. "I need to think a bit and then I'll come." The school supplies were zipped inside her pack. "It's too heavy. Let me carry it there." "No," she said. "Just lift it on my back." Inside, she was still sparring with Pierre. Yogi sandals slipper slapped the dust. She watched him dawdle home among the huts. Pierre was still her hump, a breach of trust. Would Karma one day kick him in the nuts? She made a buzz line for the whitewashed school. Inside her office, Margot sat to breathe. She'd be a fool to get up now and leave due to Pierre, self-centered, grabbing, cruel. She steeled herself, holding back regret, unzipped her backpack now. Push through, push through. She gave herself a sterner talking to and then unlocked the storage cabinet. Stacking supplies cooled her pressure gauge. Putting the pens in rows helped anger simmer. Then she piled each word and picture primer. She drew one out and idly turned the page. A is for umb, meaning mango. B is for beach ball, never seen in a village. C is for chappals, a pair of flip-flops. D is for dadu, Indian bullfrog. E is for elephant, long gone from these parts. F is for fire, fed by ghee and raw incense. G is for gumut, the dome of a gurdwara. H is for horn on an auto rickshaw. I is for India, printed in national colours. J is for jahaj, or aeroplane, or jet. K is for kela, meaning any banana. L is for lungi, sarong of country farmers. M is for Mata, nursing her infant. N is for Neola, a sleek furred mongoose. O is for orange, always bright on a page. P is for Peter or Papa or Baba. Q is for queen, Sita dressed in a sari. R is for rule, both metric, imperial. S is for sump, meaning snake, always kill it. T is for Tonga and its bone bag horse. U is for udder, beneath a buffalo. V is for vixen, pronounced with a W. W is for wall, made of mud and dung. Y is for yellow, the colour of diseases. Z is for zebra, traditional in any grammar. That phone call had blown up into a brawl, yet swallowing words was her therapy. She went home to slow herself with yogi. Moon to sun, she sighed inside her shawl. Atul is 12 and in love with Madam. His chicken hawk eyes grab fast for pencils in the next day art class under the peepal tree where leaves are broad as human hands. He dreams inside the house of a mango, rides a battle tiger, lives 7 years on an elephant, finger walking and filling in the colouring book, worth just a few rupees. He is poor, underfed, yet quick as a river shrimp when bait is dangled. It was Madam's small gift, and he is in love. No one has offered him more than stabs in the ribs, and each lunchtime now she opens 2 chapatis, pickle and dal, and shares with him in private. Atul scours her steel utensils with ash and dirt. Big boys, bony as buffaloes, have beaten and beaten him many times going home. He has not complained since his cheek was brushed by the hand of love. The need to ingest love, the ambiguity of blood, the trouble with attachments, the village pupil as teacher. The hand pump at recess, the gladness of splash wars, the loving gift of sugar cane, the pain of missing her children. What could she teach in this bulrush swamp that had buried city after crumbling city, from days of Krishna and Pandava princes, the jealous Kaurava cousins, the Mahabharata armies who turned on Holocaust lights of a great age to fumble into the unlit room of a darker one, wearing armlets of gold, their fine hilts of swords, insignias on shields. Princely sports cars of chariots snapped like human spines and sunk deep under silt. Go down with archaeologists and myth crackers and find Ved Vyasa, the poet sage, still meditating on the flame of a buried ghee lamp 100 feet below until the next golden yuga. Yes, earn your keep, madam, on the edge of Mata Ganga. Learn where royal horses frolicked with rich silk princes, hunting nilgai and peacock, tiger and leopard. Madam might one day take the children on a school excursion to close by Hastinapur to see old ruins of past kings, instead of New Delhi pride and the push-me-pull-you kingdom. Nothing had changed. At least snot-nosed low-castes and no-castes got on together, she thought, here in Pariah Playground on the river's edge. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi. a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another installment.